Have you ever not been able to see something? I don't know if it is because of the impending coming of my own son, hopefully after December the 25th. Hear that? Please, little guy, just after the last Christmas Eve service. But I don't know what it is, but everywhere I look, I see babies. I even saw one sneak in today. Little Jake's back there, got a chance to hold him a little while last week. So glad to have him here. But everywhere I look, I see babies and pregnant women. There's one walking around my house all the time, all hours of the night. She's getting up. But everywhere I go, I see them. Started reading the scriptures and started preparing for them. And here we are in Advent, the story of a miraculous pregnancy. But we forget about this one, don't we? Interesting enough, when you get into the lectionary, which is those scriptures that are chosen to help us make our way through the Bible every 3 years, we're in Luke this time. And this first text doesn't even find its way in. We find instead on this day to talk about John the Baptist's life, but we don't talk about his birth. But for some reason, I was drawn to the pregnancy. The other thing that I've been drawn to lately, if you read my article on the Ripples, are Christmas tree lights and Christmas trees. I mean, there are Christmas trees everywhere, right? They're all over the place. There's even one on the courthouse that came from Baldwin Farms. Opened up my Facebook the other day and saw this big Christmas tree coming down the hill. Got out the Christmas trees around here, the Chrismon trees. One in the foyer got decorated last Sunday. Had a beautiful picture that I got to see last week of Doris Cotton and the triplets putting the final ornaments on here. But if you look at that tree, does anybody see what I see? Those lights are going to be the bane of my existence. Look at that. You see it? Right there. It's driving me crazy. But guess what? It's driving other people crazy too. I found an engineer last night. He's got this tool. You put it in and plug it in and you pop this little kind of thing. And it turns all the lights on, even if they're burnt out. And it shows you which one's out. So this week, that tree is mine. But there are trees everywhere. I mean, you just go out there and you see them. I'm sure Marjorie is sick of seeing trees. Are you sick yet?
Absolutely.
She's getting close. We went to go get our tree last week at our house. They said they're running out of trees in Lexington. They were having us ship in more because they're running out of trees everywhere. I saw another tree this last week. It's the family tree. Have any of you been paying attention to this? Did you catch that in the story today that I made Ken read, that long piece of text that he had to make interesting? It was fascinating because as you went in there, you got a little bit of what Zechariah did and where he came from. You got a bit of his family tree. Did you catch that? His family, because through his wife, through Elizabeth, they were part of the clan of Aaron, and they were Levites, they were priests within the family of Israel. Now, the reason why that should pop up is because we're going to hear a story later on, a connection because of that.
Because Mary is part of a clan as well. The clan of Aaron. The tribe of Levi. The priestly tribe. And we're going to find out that Mary and Elizabeth were related. It's a beautiful connection that we find. This idea of two women within this same line, this same branch of a family tree that have this miraculous birth and are both blessed with sons. If you pay attention, you can see the connections. I mean, it's important. Even in the Gospel of Matthew, so when we're back in and we read Matthew's Gospel around the next Christmas that comes around, we'll get the whole genealogy. And I was even reminded this last week that if you go to a Catholic service on Christmas Eve, they will read all of the genealogy on that night. They will go through and it will, and they will start at Adam, and they will, and this person begat this person, begat this person. Have you all heard that? As a kid, I was like, what's a begat? My parents never answered that question. But, you know, they go through the whole genealogy of who came with who. But if you pay attention, there are some fascinating connections along the way. We are fascinated with this within our culture right now, too. How many of you have seen the Ancestry 23andMe? You can buy this now. It's like on sale. $50. You spit into this tube, send it off, and they'll tell you where you came from. Look at your DNA, break it down, figure out where you came from, and then you get a chance to look and see who you are connected with. I was visiting with Buford yesterday. He and I were chatting around there, and this is hilarious. You know, when the first, he's like, how's everything going? How, you know, we're chatting this and that. How's Melissa doing? Terrific. You excited about the baby? Yes. First question he asks, you got a name yet? I said, Buford. I could tell you, but I'd have to kill you. No. But we still, you know, we're still narrowing it down. And remember, if I knew, I'm not going to tell you. So, but he asked the name. And I said, still don't know, but, you know, we're narrowing it down. He said, you don't know where my name comes from? And he told me the story of his name. And he said, it's interesting enough, the McIntoshes came from South Georgia. I was like, what? He's like, yeah, there's a county named for us, McIntosh County, down in South Georgia. You want to know where my family's from? South Georgia. Right? Outskirts of McIntosh County. We're connected. If you talk to my parents, my dad grew up in Augusta, Georgia, which is in kind of that eastern central part. You know, they play that golf tournament there. Masters. And my mom grew up down near Savannah in Tatnall County, which is down near that McIntosh County area there. But fascinating enough, when you start connecting things on my parents' family tree, every summer my dad used to go down to Tatnall County to visit his Uncle Roland, who lived down there with his mom's sister, Aunt Daisy. And he would work in the cotton fields down there and in the onion fields. Guess who was Miss Onion of Tatnall County? Now, but the thing is, they didn't meet there. Ran around the same people. They had the same friends. They were 3 years apart. But they just kind of kept missing each other, but right in that same area. But my mom decided, my dad first decided to go to the University of Georgia. My mom went to the University of Georgia, and it was there that they met. But not on campus. No, my dad picked up paying gigs and feeding gigs. He would go play his guitar with a buddy of his in the basement of churches on Sunday evenings, and they'd feed him and give him a little money. And he was playing a gig with his best friend, Andy. And there was this beautiful girl out in the audience listening. And Andy elbowed my dad and said, "I got her." My dad did. But, you know, it's fascinating. They finally found each other. They suddenly connected right then and there on University of Georgia. And then they made their way to Lexington, Kentucky. My mom graduated in the end from University of Kentucky. My dad from UGA. But then, once they got married and they started kind of talking and connecting all of these different dots and people and things like that, my parents are related. It's like six generations off and somebody's married to there and there and all that kind of stuff. So it's, you know, but they're still connected. And Buford's family might be a part of that as well. Fascinating enough. Do you know your heritage? Do you know where you come from? Do you know what it is that connects you around here? Maybe some of you are connected in here. I've heard the stories. I have. Jean's a great person. She's connected. I think she's related to everybody in this room right now in some way or another. We all know that. But if you don't know that you're connected, we've got some folks that do know about that. Dinah and Jerry are both very skilled in helping people to understand their family heritage. And they've actually offered up in January to help people figure out the connections that they had. So if you ever have any wonderings about this, where do I get started? How do I work this out? Jerry and Dinah are going to help you to do that and begin that process. I'm grateful for the gifts that they bring, for the ways that they're going to be able to help us see some of the connections that exist, not just here in Pond, with each of us and where those go. Because it's really a very, very small world. Jerry was sharing with me that there's 6 degrees of separation. Have you all heard about this? That it started back in the 1920s, actually. 1929. That there was a man that came forward and said, "We are all connected within 6 degrees. My generation came up with something even better. 6 degrees of Kevin Bacon. Are you familiar with 6 degrees of Kevin Bacon? Kevin Bacon, Footloose? The greatest actor of our generation? I don't get a whole lot of excitement. Okay, well, Kevin Bacon is maybe the most proliferant, that he's in everything. So, but this is it. You can connect Kevin Bacon to any movie star or actor or actress that's out there. In at least 6 degrees. We're going to play 6 degrees with Kevin Bacon this morning. I need name of an actor or actress from somebody. Trenton. Who's a good actor? An actor or actress? Give me a name. Johnny Depp. Is Johnny Depp connected to Kevin Bacon? Let us see. Johnny Depp. They are. They were both in Black Mass together in 2015. That's not that hard. Give me a good one. Somebody, come on. Humphrey Bogart. That's got to be tough. I mean, the guy's, okay. Humphrey Bogart. Connected? Ooh, 2 degrees. Humphrey Bogart was in The Wagons Roll at Night. Does anybody ever see that movie? With Eddie Albert. All right? Eddie Albert was in The Big Picture in 1989 with Kevin Bacon.
Gail Cove.
Gail Cove?
K-O-V-E.
Okay. You're good. Listen to this. Kim's going to find the one. K-O-V-E.
Nobody ever heard of her.
No, I don't even think she's on here. All right, so Ken wins. There's a connection, though. I'll have to check it out. I, you know, thumbs can't type that fast. But there are connections that span all over, and they are powerful ones. And Advent is a time in our lives and a time that we are given to ponder not just the connections that we have to Kevin Bacon, but also the connections that exist between us, humanity, and to God. And for us to nurture those connections as well. What's fascinating is that when I begin to talk to people and I ask them, what's the most important thing about Christmas? Is it a specific thing that you put up? Is it the Christmas carols? Is it the gift giving? What is it that is the most important? Most of the time what I get is family and friends, the connections that we have. So, and as I was beginning to think this week about what it was in this story that was so fascinating to me, it's that Zechariah, after given this beautiful and wonderful and joy-filled news, what happens to him? He loses his voice. Two important things to learn from this. First off, preachers need to shut up more. I promise I'm going to do that later today. But first thing, they need to be quiet more. But the question is, why is it? Why is it that Gabriel would take this time and say, you are not going to be able to talk for the next 9 months? Was this a punishment? A lot of times you'll get that. A lot of times you'll hear preachers say, because he didn't believe, because he didn't have enough faith, God struck him mute. That is not the way that God works. God does not create beauty and then tell you not to enjoy it. So I wondered about that, and I pondered it, and I shut up for just a minute. And one of the things that I found is that when I began to be quiet, when I began to slow things down, what I realized is this is an invitation to sit and to listen and to see what is happening and the connections that are going on. Because the thing is, in our lives, we can get going so quickly, and especially within this time of Advent, there is so much on our to-do list. There are so many things to do, so many presents to buy, and so many, you know, things to fix and all of this kind of stuff, that it can be overwhelming, and we can just go, 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 until all of a sudden we find ourselves on Christmas Eve night, we're exhausted, and we've missed Advent. What if the reason that God invited Zechariah to be quiet was to invite him to be more attentive and present to what was going on? Because when we do that, when we stop talking and when we begin to pause for a minute and to take all that is going on around us, you can't help but see the beautiful connections that are happening. That Advent is about this beautiful time when two unexpected women are going to change the world. pregnancies in both of these lives of these women are culturally experienced as worthless. The first is this woman, Elizabeth. Back then, if you had not had a child at the age that Elizabeth was at, you weren't worth anything. And the story we're about ready to hear is about a young girl who is unmarried and finds herself pregnant. She would have been considered worthless. Pause a minute. And if we allow that story to speak to us and to our very hearts, what we find is this continues to be God reminding us that we all have beautiful worth within us. And that God does amazing things through the most unlikely of connections. The baby is born and Zechariah still can't talk. It's not until they take the baby into the temple to have him circumcised and have him kind of named before all the people. And back then, the name was important. I'm sure that everybody kept asking Zechariah, what are you going to name the baby? And they get there. Guess who gets to name the baby back in that culture? The dad. Guess who can't talk? If you don't think God doesn't have a sense of humor, I love this. So Zechariah has to go back into where he works, back into the temple, and he's there and he can't speak, and so they look to the woman who is thought to be worthless, and they say, what is the name of this child? She says, John. Not Zechariah, but John. And at that point, Zechariah can speak. And what comes out of his mouth is a song. It's one of the only songs that we find. There are a couple that are sprinkled out throughout the biblical narrative that we don't find in the Psalms themselves. But this is one outside of it. It is a song that he sings and then brings forward, and they call it a prophecy. But it's not just any prophecy. It's not something that looks forward to say what's coming. It lifts up what's happening now. And what happens is Zechariah connects with the Almighty, with the Holy Spirit, and he begins to speak of the joyous things that God has done and God is doing in this place and in this time and through this baby. He paused long enough to see the connections and to see the worth of what was happening in all the people that are surrounding him. And he gave thanks. And he named the power of this moment. I'm going to invite you this Advent season to pause, to be quiet a little bit more, and to open your eyes and ears to see what God is doing in this time and this place, and maybe through the most unlikely of people, because God continues to speak and continues to connect us in powerful ways. Who will lead us to the next connection?
Thank you for listening to the White Oak Pond Christian Church podcast. We hope that it's been a blessing to you this day. White Oak Pond seeks to be a place where we accept one person at a time to Christ's never-ending and forgiving love. Don't forget to subscribe to this podcast so that you can receive sermons each and every week. And also rate us. It really helps. Thank you again, and may you know joy in powerful ways this week.